You be seated. Welcome to Summit Community Church, and it's so good to see everyone in this place. The title of the message that I want to share today is Finishing Well. And I was doing a little bit of research, and to be honest with you, I was a little bit afraid to write things down, what I found out about people, especially in ministry, that give up and get discouraged in life. And during their walk with the Lord, starting really well, actually really well, having a vision from God, having a burden from God that God has called them to do something. And yet through trials or tribulations, through pride, through different things in life that they were facing, they gave up. And I don't know how true this is, but that's why I didn't take this quotation from this author, but they said about 70% of ministers quit because they are not finishing well. They don't have the strength. Either they got prideful, either they got hurt, either they got sidetracked, either they began to build their own ministries and their own names and so on and so forth. But the really truth of what really God has called them to do somewhere along the line was dropped. And that was a scary number for me that I began to think, wow, God, help us. Help all of us together as a church of Jesus Christ not to think that we're the best and we're going to do everything that we're supposed to do, because the Bible says those who stand, be careful. Be careful. But in humility, help us, God, in humility and always to acknowledge that everything that we have and all the strength and everything that we need has to come from you, and we are to depend upon him. We have to. There is no other way. There are people in the Bible that started well. There are people in the Bible that actually had a call of God upon their lives. And they said, yes, Lord. And it's so evident in our life, even when God touches our lives and we are students here, when we are in the presence of God and we feel God is speaking to us, we say, yes, God, I'll do everything what you're asking me to do. And yet we find ourselves often that we're so weak to fulfill that in our own strength. But I want to encourage you that it's good, because we cannot fulfill the call of God in our own strength. It's only by faith in Jesus Christ and trusting him, believing that he is able to do what he intended to do through our lives. We're just vessels that we're walking before him, and we are to walk how his word is asking us to walk. Praise God. There's a particular man that I want to talk. What did he do that actually he did not finish well in life from the Old Testament? And then we'll turn to somebody from the New Testament that he did finish well. And he said, look at me, how I serve God, and follow me. Not many people can say that. But I want to look at the life of Saul. And if you have your Bibles with you, if you can open up 1 Samuel chapter 10. Verses 6, and we all probably heard the story or read the story somewhere along the lines in our life, but we know that before there was no kings in Israel, and God was their king. God was their portion, and they were coming to God, and they were be able to be walking with him and fulfilling the laws that were given to them to fulfill. And it came a moment that people wanted a king, and they said, no, we want a king. And God heard that cry, and God spoke to Samuel and said, you know what? I'm going to give them a king. They want a king. I'm going to give them a king. And God saw this man by the name of Saul, and he chose him. And he said, this man will be the king. And Samuel began to speak to Saul. He began to tell him what God has been speaking to Samuel and kind of giving him heads up to prepare him and encouraging him and letting him know that God has a mission for his life. And in verse 6, we can read, then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and they turned into another man. And you will turn into another man. Now when these signs meet you, do what your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Then go down before to Gilgal, and behold, I am coming to you to offer burnt offering and sacrifice peace offering. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do. And in verse 9, it says, God gave him another heart.
So we see a unique story that even before people knew, God is using this man, Samuel, to speak to Saul. And he's preparing him. He's saying, God has a plan for you. That the Spirit of God is going to come upon you. You're going to be a changed man. It's not going to be you who are going to do things, but God through you. And the Bible says that he began to prophesy. The Spirit of God came upon him and God changed his heart. But then Samuel is telling him some details of what for Saul to do. And he says, go to this city, Gilgal, and wait for me there. You have to wait 7 days because they were in war with the surrounding nations and in conflict. And he says, you have to wait for me. I will come. I will bring the burnt offering. I will bring the sacrifice. And then I'll tell you what to do. And if we read the Old Testament, we find out that in the Old Testament, only prophets and priests, they were allowed to do those kind of things. Kings, especially, it was prohibited to do priesthood job, so to speak. And we read later on in the story when he could not wait. So he went ahead and began to do things in his own strength, in his own mind, in his own ideas, how he thought it fits for him to do. But the Bible also speaks before he did that, that there came a moment that Samuel wanted to tell all the people that this is who God chose to be a king for you. And if we read in verses 21 through 26, we find out, I'm going to paraphrase, but we're going to find out that they were going tribe by tribe and they were looking, who is this man that is going to be our king? And then of course, we read in the story, we see that Saul was hiding between things, between some of the things that they were having maybe in the backyard that he was just kind of afraid and for his life, he was just hiding. And the Bible says that Samuel was looking, who would that be? And he was going tribe by tribe. And he said, this is not it. There is somebody here by the name of Saul that he should be the king. And they began to look for him. They began to look, where is he missing? I mean, it had to be a shock for everybody that all the tribes are here. This is such a big an event. It's such a big, big thing that we're choosing here. And yet Saul is hiding somewhere. And I began to study a little bit this passage. And we find out that people suggest that he was probably hiding because of fear. He was hiding because he was insecure. He was hiding because he thought maybe he's not worthy to be a king. And yet he knew because Saul knew before that he's going to be a king. And yet he's hiding full of fear and full of insecurity. He's trying to seek refuge. But yet God is saying, no, I'm going to choose you. And I'm going to change you. I'm going to mold you. But you have to obey me. You have to trust me. You have to believe in me that I have a plan for you. And you have to be able to incline your ear towards my words so you can do what I'm commanding you to do. And we all know that sometimes when God speaks in our life, we're so quick to say, God, speak to me. And he says, you know what? I'll use your life. I'll do this or that. And we find ourselves maybe locking ourselves in the room or in the closet and praying and being so humble and being so shy about it and saying, God, woe is me. You chose me. Wow, I can't believe it. But then yet it comes a moment when we do step in the call of God, when we do step to do the things of the Lord. We find ourselves in trouble sometimes because we as human begin to operate in our own strength, in our own wisdom. Few of the things that Saul did in this story says that he began to do the offering. He began to do the burnt offering. He could not wait for Samuel to come. It's almost like he says, you know what? Samuel told me 7 days. I'm going to wait 7 days. The 7 day hit. And he said, you know what? Samuel is not here. I'm going to do it. And it speaks to me though of disobedience, of how much disobedience was in Saul's heart. Even though he was hiding, even though he wanted to do the right thing, even though he thought maybe it's not me who is supposed to be the king. But when it came a moment in his life that he had to obey the word of the Lord that came through Samuel, he found himself do the opposite. Another thing that I find that Saul did, he began to trust himself. He began to trust in human strength. He began to trust in human planning of how to conquer this nation, of how to do this thing in his own strength. And of course, one last thing that I want to pay attention to, Saul could not wait. He was impatient. And we all know that walking with the Lord, Pastor Tim was preaching, waiting time is not wasted time. It's so vital for us as Christians, as believers in Christ, to be able to wait. But the foundation of all in Saul's life, I believe it was that he did not believe God, that he would do what he said that he would do. He did not trust the saving power of the Lord. He did not put in his heart and his mind that, you know what, God said he will do this and he will because he's faithful. But he said, you know what, yes, he said that, but it's the seventh day and it's getting dark and I see no answer. And I cannot look like a fool in front of people, in front of the army that we're preparing to go to war. So yet I'm gonna do something that was prohibited for me to do. When I was asked to wait, I can't wait anymore. When I was asked to just wait patiently and wait for Samuel to come, I'm not gonna wait because it seems like it's too late already. And I'm going to do. And right then when he's doing what he was prohibited to do, Samuel shows up. And he has an excuse. I did this because you did not show up. I did this because I thought you're not gonna come. I did this because I thought it would be best for the people because we need answers, we need strategy, we need to know how to go to war. And Samuel rebukes him because it was not of him to do that. His job was to wait. How much mistakes we as Christians, as leaders, as believers, as the Church of Jesus Christ do when we forsake the time of waiting. When we say, you know what, God, I know that you promised you're going to do this in my life, but I see no fruit. And for that reason, I'm going to try to fix this in my own strength. We know the story of Abraham. When God promised him the future, God promised him generations. And yet he believed in God. He was clinging to that promise, but it came a moment in his life when he said, you know what, I'm so old. And I have to do this in my own strength because God is not going to be faithful to fulfill this promise in my life. Look at me, look at Sarah. And we all know what happened after. We are prone in our own strength, in a human flesh, to do things the way we want to do. To do things the way it seems to us is the right thing to do. And one of the things is probably because it seems like when we're waiting for the Lord and when God is asking us to put our trust in Him, it seems like we lose control of situations. And that's exactly what God wants us to actually feel, that we lose control of situations because God is in control. He's the head of the church and we're the body. And so often I've seen pastors, I've seen leaders, I've seen friends, when they seem that they lose the touch with God and they lose that the tenderness to hear from the Lord and they begin to take things on their own control, in their own hands. And they, instead of giving food to the sheep, instead of encouraging the sheep, instead of when the sheep is bleeding, instead of them coming and praying with them, they come with a heavy hand because it seems like they lost control. So the only thing what is left for them to do in their own strength to try to fix the problem and to try to fix the situation, but ultimately it brings death. There was another point in Saul's life when he was asked to go against the Amalekites. And again, a pattern of disbelief, a pattern of mistrust, a pattern of disobedience in his heart. Samuel is telling him, you should go. The word of the Lord is speaking to you. You should go and get rid of everybody. You should not keep anything for you, but kill everyone who is there and take over and conquer. And what did they do? They went and took the king Agag from the Amalekite and they took all the sheep, they took the beasts, they took the oxen. And when Samuel came again to him, what did you do? He tried to justify that we're going to bring this as an offering to the Lord. You see, God is speaking one thing to him, but he's doing something totally different and trying to spiritualize it because he did a mistake. Instead of saying, you know what, Samuel? Whoa, it's me. I sinned before the Lord. I did not obey God. I did not listen to the word of God, the Lord. I did not trust his saving power. I did not believe in him that he will do what he asked me to do. And ultimately it's not in my strength, but we were able to do this because God was with us. I was afraid for some reason. I maybe looked at a different way and this is what we did. Forgive us. Maybe we should bring an offering to the Lord, a sin offering or something. But no, he's trying to justify himself so he can look good before people. So often, living by faith and trusting the Lord, he can look like a fool. But because we want to look like we're so wise and we have to have everything under control, we take control in our own hands and we do things to justify our own deeds. But ultimately, they're wrong. And Samuel later on is speaking to Saul and he's trying to bring correction to Saul's life. And what does Saul do? Does he say, you know what? I'm going to bow down and I'm going to fall to my face and ask God to forgive me. He doesn't say that. He said, come, help me make look for me to look good before the people. Again, it's a self-image to be able to impress people and not care about your relationship with God. He comes, he cares more of how people will think about him. What would people say about him? He's trying to take control of the situation in whole strength instead of saying, you know what? I missed the mark. I did not believe in God's promises, but I believed in my strength. I tried to do what God asked me to do in my strength. And ultimately, I disobeyed him. Because ultimately, this is what happens when we move in our own strength and try to do things in our own strength. Disobedience comes into our life. And then we try to justify everything by our deeds, by our programs, by what we want to do in life. But God is not in it. And we all know how the story ended. Samuel came again with correction against Saul. And he says, you know what? God removed you from king. In different words, you're not going to be king all your life. Because of your disobedience, because of your lack of trust, lack of faith in the Almighty God, because of lack of yieldness to what God is going to do in your life, but you are doing. For that reason, God is removing you from this position to be a king. And God is seeking or found someone by his own heart. And he found this man named David. And ultimately, what do you think? In our life, when we see our friends, when we see our co-workers, when we see our classmates that God is using them, what do we usually do? Do we rejoice? Man, God, how come it's not me? God, why, something's wrong with me? Why not me? Why are you doing this in their life, but my life, it's useless? And the danger in that is, that we began to hold to things that maybe God never gave you. And we began to operate in flesh and we began to do things in our own strength. And ultimately that produces spiritual death. Or we will choose to say, God, I believe who you are. I come to you in faith, trusting what you did on a cross for me. That you have received me, washed me, cleansed me. And now everything what I do, my life, all the works that are following the faith that I have in you, it's for your glory, it's for your kingdom. It's none of me, but all of you. You see, faith without works is dead, but works without faith is also dead. So how do you combine them two? I think the way I tell myself is, God, help me to believe in you, because John says the works of the Lord is for me and for you to believe in him. And when we believe in him, it's God who works through our lives because we yielded our lives to him. And as a fruit, there is work in our life. But Saul was at a moment when his kingdom was rejected. And he saw that God is using this young man, David. And instead of rejoicing with him, instead of saying, you know what, I blew it. Forgive me, God. Samuel, pray for me. What he does, he becomes bitter. He becomes angry. He becomes afraid, ultimately, because bitterness, anger, and all those things are actually the result of fear of our self-image. Because now we're going to be exposed of who we really are. And Saul did a big mistake. Instead of yielding, when he still had a chance to repent and give everything to the Lord, he began to fight for his power now. And he was willing to kill the anointed one that God has chosen by the name of David. He was after his life just to keep his image, his position, his power. But there was no life in it. And we all know how the story ended. We're all aware of how he went to war in his own strength, in his own might. He began to do things the way he wanted. But I believe there was a period of time that he still had a chance to get it right. But he did not. Because he thought he can do it in his own strength. Ultimately, this was maybe the mentality that he had. He thought that everything what he's gonna do, he has a plan, he has the people, he has the tools, he has the knives, he has the guns, so to speak, and he's gonna fight in his own strength. Forsaking what God is saying, trust me, believe in me, and you will see victory in your life. Stop fighting in your own strength, yield it to me. Stop walking in disobedience and give up because I want to use your life. He was tender-hearted. God poured out his spirit upon him. He changed his heart. He changed him. But yet, Saul disregarded that. And we know that that brought death in his life. The very thing that he was trying to fight the enemy, he actually died himself with that. The very sword that was given for him is the authority, is the power to do what God has called him to do. When he lost that calling, when he lost that mission in the Old Testament, so to speak, the very thing killed him. Because God is a God of justice. He's not just gonna give you things and you can just play with it and do whatever you want, live how you want, and expect God to just move in your life. When God is calling his people, it's a mission that he's calling us to. And yes, the call of God doesn't change in our life. But we might reject it, we might leave it, and we might choose to walk our own way. Because it's a free will that we have in our life. And we might say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to pay the price. On Friday, we had the opportunity and the privilege to meet with Pastor Carter in the Fellowship Center. And he was sharing a few of the things, preparing us for the ordination and talking with us as a pastor. And trying to convey a message to us, do we realize what we sign up for, so to speak. And he said, it's God who calls, it's God who ordains, and people who give certificates. Ultimately, it's God. But he said about a story of Pastor David Wilkerson one time in service, turned to him. And he said, are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to pay a price for this? Because it's not going to be easy. And he said that that stuck with him. Because he said many times he wanted to give up. It was too hard. There's pain in ministry. There's challenges. And through that, we are to yield to him and trust him and believe that he's faithful. And this is what he did. And we know the results. And part of the result is us being here at Summit Community Church, at Summit International School of Ministry. Because there is obedience and faith in God from men that say, you know, God, I don't want to do it my way. But I want to be moved by you, by your spirit. I don't want to do my thing in life. I don't want to take things under my control. But God, you have promised that this place will have life. And you are the one that brings life. You are the one that promises encouragement and you will bring the encouragement. You are the one that promises provision. And yet when it seems like everything is crumbling down around us, you are the one that provides because you spoke life to this place and you spoke a future to this place. We need men like that. We need women of God like that, that will believe one more time and say, I'm not gonna do it in my own strength. I'm not gonna look for resources in my own strength. But what I'm gonna do is seek you, oh God. Pray to you because you are the one who provides. You are the one who says, let there be life. You are the one who breathes life. And you are the one who does things supernaturally. Because as soon as we begin to move naturally, we will lose sight of what is supernatural. Because it's God who promises things. And let our life never, never follow the footsteps of Saul the way he ended his life. But I want to speak about a man who our life should follow. So together we can say like Apostle Paul said, no longer I live but Christ in me. I crucified my flesh so the plan of God and the purposes of God can be through me and I can touch other people. Because Apostle Paul once did things in his own strength. Because he was zealous for the religion, but missing the life of God. The only thing that will produce in our life if we trust our own plans and our own strategies will produce death. Spiritual death. There will be no life in us when we speak with people, when we speak with others. But when we say, God, none of me and all of you. None of my giftings but all of you. None of my abilities but all of you. Because ultimately it's Him. Sometimes we seek what God gives us instead of seeking Him first. And we get caught up of what God gave me, what my strength is, what my weaknesses is. But ultimately it's God alone. It's God who gives. It's God who takes away. It's God who empowers us. It's God who breathes through us. It's God who does things through us. It's God who does miracles through us because it's Him. And all the glory belongs to Him. Our emphasis again should be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is who I want to know. Apostle Paul was one of the most brilliant men in that time. He knew the law upside down. And he said, you know what? I'm knowledgeable. I have all these things to do. But he said, no, I count all these things as rubbish. And so many people say, what did he count as rubbish? The world? No, he counted all that he had, all the knowledge, everything that he achieved as rubbish to obtain Christ and Him crucified. This is the message of the cross. And if we want to finish well, we are to hold dear to this. If we want to finish well, we are to hold dear to the faith in Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, it's not what you do, but it's who does it through you. And it's Jesus Christ. We can open the Word of God to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. This Apostle Paul speaking that he has poured out his life as a drink offering for everybody. And now he's getting to a moment when his life is about to depart. And he's saying, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. How important is that? He's saying, I have fought the fight. And now I finished the race. And the most important thing, he says, I have kept the faith. When I read the story, if you take the faith part out of this, to run this race and to fight this fight, it's almost pointless because we can't do it in our own strength. We can't. But Apostle Paul says three components here. That he says, I have fought the fight. And not just I fought, but a good one. A good one. How important is it to fight a good fight? Not just to fight and to just wake up and just exist. But to be able to say, you know what? It's a good fight that I'm fighting. To see the purpose in your fight, to see the purpose in my prayers, to see the purpose in your prayers, to see the purpose in ministry, in the serving, what we do. There is a purpose and there is a good fight that we are to fight. And then it says, I have finished the race. And this is what I was talking in the beginning. We are to finish strong. He said, I finished the race. Maybe I'm crawling in the end. Maybe I don't have strength anymore, but I'm finishing this race. I was talking last night with Pastor Rick Higgins and he was sharing with us a story about how he and his kids went to crawl a mountain. And they went hiking and I believe his son was at that moment 13 years old. And they went halfway out and his son said, you know what, I'm going back. I'm going back. And he said, son, just know if you quit now, you'll always remember this. And you'll be attacked by this mentality that you're a quitter. But even if you have to crawl a little bit, pull yourself together, we'll get there. And they finished. They finished crawling or walking up that mountain. And now he finished, I believe, in the army. And he's moving forward because he has a mentality of a fighter. That we're not quitters. But how are we not quitters? It's knowing that it's God that gives us strength. The moment you try to move in your own strength, in your flesh, you'll fail. The moment you realize that it's God who gives life, it's God who called me, and He is able to do everything through me what He promised to do. And He is able to do through my life what I can't do in my own strength. It's God. And then He also says, therefore, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. In different words, Apostle Paul is saying it doesn't have to be just me alone, but also to all who loved him, to all who is waiting for his appearing power, to all who has put his trust, their trust in him. This is the story that I want to share. This is the story that I want to tell my kids, that no matter what, in my life, when challenges came, I did not try to fix things in my own strength, but I went to my closet and I began to pray and God resolved it. This is a story that I want to share with my brothers and sisters, that when a problem came into my life, I did not run and try to fix it in my own ideas, in my own intelligentsia. But I ran to God because He is my provider. I remember stories in my life when my parents would sit down with me and they would tell a story as kids, how God answered their prayers. When my mom had cancer and she was laying in bed in a mattress on a floor, when she could barely move and she needed help to go to the bathroom, she needed help to move. And yes, we tried medicine, and yes, we tried different things, but ultimately we ran to God. And when doctors said she will live so long, and when we just look in it in the eyes of barely or literally a person dying, but it came a moment when she got herself together and we went to church when there was communion. And when she partook from this communion, my sister-in-law put her hand on her shoulder and began to pray for her. And instantly she got healed and she's alive to this day. Praise God. I want to hear those kind of stories. It inspires me to believe that God can do one more time what He says He will do. But it's for those people that will believe in Him and will trust Him. Not in my own plans. Not in my own things, how I have to do all these things. Because according to my plan, we had to buy a casket. According to God's plan, there was life still proclaimed upon this life. We have a choice. You do things in your own strength, you will fail. And it's not that one time you will fail and all of a sudden you've forgotten. No. The good thing in the New Testament is that God still speaks to us because He loves us. He's long suffering with us. He doesn't desire for us to perish. He doesn't desire for sinners to perish, but His desire is for all of us to be saved, for all the humanity to hear the gospel and to believe in Him. This is His desire. And are we gonna say, you know what? I'm gonna believe that, or I'm gonna try to move in my own plan, in my own strength, in my own agenda? Or I'm gonna say, like Apostle Paul says, I did not seek yours, but I sought who? You. Jesus Christ did not come to seek yours. In different words, what you can offer, what you can bring to Him, how you can impress Him. But He said, I'm gonna come and seek you because you're important for me. I love you so much. You are important for me. And I have a plan for your life. And if you trust me and you believe in me and you don't doubt me, I can move mountains in your life. I can bring healing through your life in other people's bodies. I can touch other people. I can fill other people's mouth with gratitude and worship. When you lay hands on people, they will be healed. The time is coming, the Bible says that God is gonna pour out His Spirit upon young generation. We begin to prophesy and we begin to call upon the name of the Lord, and God's gonna do miracles, but we have to be in a position to know that it's not of us. It's not of me, but Him through me. And all the glory, God, it's yours. It belongs to you. And as Apostle Paul says, my life is poured out as a drinking offering. In different words, I'm reminded of a story when the mighty man came to David and brought this water that he wanted from that well. Instead of him taking and drinking, he poured it down. And he says, I don't deserve this. I can't do this. Don't seek just what yours to build your ministry, to build your ideology, to build your what you want to do. But say, God, what do you want to do in my life? What is the thing, the very thing that you want to use my life for? And if you think about it, there were plenty of men in the Old Testament that God just used them for specific things. And so many times we can search for things in life, what am I existing for? And yet just miss the opportunity or the very thing that God has just given us opportunity to witness or to clean or to do something with a good heart, with a good heart. Our ministry and our life is not just certain time or certain hours or what we do in our giftings or our abilities or things that we do. I speak this in love, but it's all our life. And the Bible says everything what we do, we are to do as unto, to whom? One more time, everything that we do, we are to do as unto the Lord. And when we do that, we have an impact. We have an impact on our friends, on our fellows, and our families, because all my life is His. And yet when He chooses us to use our life through our certain moments, through certain abilities or giftings or powers or whatever God gave you, vision, prophecy, whatever what God gave you, you will use that in order. You will be able to use that not to impress people and to say, wow, how good I am. Because I tried that years ago, and for 4 years I was doing construction. Because God is a God of order, and He, when He speaks, He says, Pavel, it cannot be you. It cannot be you, but it's me through you. And anything that you touch, anything that you touch, if you have the mentality to do it is unto me, I'm glorified. This is the gospel. We're not picking and choosing, but we are servants of Jesus Christ. Let's say, you know what? I'm ready to fight whenever, when you call me, God. Whenever, because it's you. And if you say, wait for Samuel, if you say, wait, even though the 7 days is getting closer to 12 at night, give me the strength and the ability not to move in my own strength. God, when it seems like that's it, the plan is supposed to be fulfilled right now, I'm asking you, Lord, give me the strength not to operate in my own flesh, but to wait. Even when it seems crazy, even when it seems it's out of the order, God, give me the grace to put my trust in you and my faith in you. Because it's you who promised and it's you who will fulfill. And I am to sit put and wait for you. Who do we want to follow today? What footsteps do we want to follow? Apostle Paul's or Saul's? We have a choice. It's okay if we want to try Saul's path, but I want to warn all of us that there will be pain there. There will be trouble there. Or we can say like Apostle Paul said, no longer I, when I become a Christian, no longer I live, but Christ in me. And anything that I touch, anything that I say, the way I act, it's Him. I am to represent Him. I'm not to impress anybody. I'm not to bring my agenda. I'm not to just do what I want to do and impress everybody. But it's you, God. It's you. And if you prompt me to come and share the gospel with my neighbor, I'll do this. But it's in obedience to you. But if you prompt me to just walk by, sometimes it's okay. We just walk by. But we are to be moved by Him and not by our emotions, our capability, and our strength. To be honest with you, this is the gospel and this is what saved me. Because if I was to be moved in my own ideas, in my own things, what I thought that God has for me, I would not be here. I would not be here. I'd be probably traveling somewhere and doing things in my own strength and screaming out of the top of my lungs, doing a lot of things in my own flesh. But because I said, God, you know what? I'm asked to come and start Sky Camp, start a program with kids that I don't even like kids, to do things that it seems crazy for me. And when I get here, five things change what I do, and it's not easy. But I said, you know what? Give me the heart, God, to do anything what I touch to do this unto you. Even when we install a toilet bowl in the building, to do it properly. Help me, God, to, even when I paint, to do it properly, to do a good job, because it's unto you. Give me that mentality and understanding that anything what I do, it's unto you because I'm your child. I'm not going to seek things. I'm not going to seek position. I'm not going to do things. Do you think it was easy? Of course not. That's my wife. I was screaming, kicking at home, but at work I was holy. Because it's a battle. It's a battle. But when we have that mentality, and then God says, you know what? 4 years I molded you. I worked with you. I broke the ideology of whatever you thought that you should do in life, that you had to put it on the altar. And you have to acknowledge that it's all me and none of you. It has to be that way. It has to be that way. If it's not, the danger is for us to operate in our own flesh when things don't go our way. When things seem that is out of control, we will be tempted to take control over those things like Saul did. This is the result of death. And we know how that story ended. Or we can say, God, you move. I am here. I'm yielding my life to you. I am yours. You saved me. You washed me. Help me to be able to hear what you're saying and be able to do at the moment you're asking me to do, not to be premature. And God will do that. Amen. Lastly, I want to share a quick story about my friend. I was in Jacksonville, Florida a few months ago, and there was a friend of mine. And the pastor of that church passed away. And a lot of people were hurt. A lot of people were hurt. And they were confused, and they were saying, we prayed for healing and this didn't happen. And what is going on? And I was able to just stay late at night and we were just talking with these fellows. And she said, I feel like God is calling me to lay hands on people so they can be healed and do all these things. But I feel like when I tell people these things, they're coming against me. And yet I prayed for my pastor and he passed away. What is going on? But during that flight, when we were flying, I was reading a book about Joseph. That when Joseph came before his brothers and he began to tell everybody what kind of visions he had and all these things, he paid a price for that. And the author of that book suggested that maybe because he was a little bit premature, because maybe it was in a prideful way. Yay, I have this vision. You guys are going to bow before me and do all these things. And it costed him. And for some reason, I don't know if I fully even agree with all of that, but I began to talk with this friend. And I said, you know what? Maybe it's prematurely you're doing some of the things in life. Maybe we should just pray. Maybe you should just seek the Lord and it'll come a moment when God is going to use your life and you're not going to sit and scream, God is telling me to do this and I'm going to do this, but it's going to be evidence in your life, in your fruit of the faith that you have, that if He called you to that, He's able to fulfill it. And when the disciples were walking, the shadow was touching people and they were healed. Miracles happened. They didn't scream. There was evidence. The problem with the Church of Jesus Christ today, we claim so many things, but there's no power in it. How about we go back to the beginnings? How about we go back to the upper room? How about we begin to pray and say, God, none of me and all of you, no longer me, but Christ in me. And let my life bring glory to you. And anything that you will do through my life, you'll be evident. And I'm not going to have to scream that this is God, what God did. No, it's not going to be no promotion. Because God doesn't need you to do promotion for Him. God needs an obedient heart, a yield heart to Him. It will say, I'm going to operate in obedience and I yield life to you. And you can do anything through me. Starting from cleaning, doing construction, moving in giftings, moving in strengths, talking in encouragement with people, doing all these things, because a good servant of the Lord should be ready in season and out of season. This is the gospel, brothers, I preach and I read. I don't know. I agree there is all kinds of things God is giving us, but let's not get caught up with those things that will lead us away. But let's caught up to that we have fought a good fight, we have run the race strongly, we have finished the race, and most of all, we have kept the faith, because it's not in your ability that you operate, but in the ability that the Holy Spirit has given us to do, not natural things, but supernatural. Amen? Let's stand together. You know, when God gives you sometimes this kind of messages, I was really nervous. I told my brother Nick in the backstage, I said, Nick, I'm really nervous. I don't know. My wife and sitting late last night and waking up in the morning. And one of those things that you just don't know. But one thing I know, we preach Christ crucified. And when we put our trust in Him, everything's gonna be okay. If you find yourself like you try things in your own strength and you failed, it's not God's fault. And ultimately, maybe it's not even fully your fault. Maybe you're not taught of the Word of God and you deal in your own zeal. But I wanna invite you to this altar to say, like Apostle Paul, he left the zeal behind. And he said, Christ in me now. And everything what I do, all my races I run, it's for His glory, because I'm going to keep this faith in Him. Amen. If this message spoke to you during the song, you can join us here at the front. We'll pray. There's nothing special about this front over here. You can pray where you at. But if you want to come up front, we'll pray together. And we'll close after that. May God bless you.